People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this.
I got the honor of a very powerful, esteemed guest today. Can y'all give a round of applause for my good brother, Ray Daniels?
Hip hop is dangerous because you don't have to change to get rich. Y'all think just because somebody's rich, they grow.
What level of accountability should we attribute to the business practices of the record labels?
I feel more powerful than any A&R in the business. We only allowed to sign what the data tells us we can sign. You can have a song saying, kill niggas, kill your mama. And it's a million streams, Ray go get that.
This is good culture, this is bad culture.
So I saw Enderly Chopper, right? We in the room, bobbing our head to every song. I'm thinking like, okay, they fucking with this, okay? And as soon as we walk out the room, white people say, is that good? I'm SVP of a label. In the music business, our number one currency is cool.
We gotta stop giving away our influence and just shipping it off to everybody else.
But I wrote him a letter, dear white music executives. And it was just like, here's the black experience. You work twice as hard to make half as much. This is a moment for us black people to educate our white counterparts. I wake up to him saying, that letter you wrote, it's incredible. I sent it to Larry Jackson, the number one guy at Apple. So Larry says, I sent this letter to the head of Billboard magazine, and she wants to talk to you. It's on the cover of Billboard, it goes crazy. Everybody's talking about this letter, but I'm public enemy number one. Mm. I drove home for a month straight, every day crying.
Every day crying, every day crying.
To think you powerful and got money and think you above certain people, but you don't have that wealth to speak truth.
To speak truth.
I got the honor of a very powerful, esteemed guest today. I respect his voice and culture. That's why I wanted to have a conversation with him. There's two people out in Atlanta I always want to tap in with, and I see the voices out there. And he's one of them as far as one of the OGs out here that I feel like is being truthful and honest and giving a really good game. You feel me? As somebody who understands the industry and been in the industry, you know, he don't sugarcoat what's necessary. You feel me? And when you talking to, I think, our culture, a lot of people only do what they get paid for. And if there's no dollar attached to it, right? Or if they fearful of losing a dollar, then they won't say it or they won't do it. And he just don't have that spirit and that energy of somebody who bought and paid for. You know what I mean? He got the spirit and the energy of somebody who free. And so I love talking to free men. So without further ado, can y'all give a round of applause for my good brother, Ray Daniels?
Thank you. How
y'all
doing?
All right, so let's get right into it, man. I had a conversation, and I was talking about how people always say hip-hop is culture, right? It's like a definitive statement. Hip-hop is culture. And I say hip-hop is not the culture, right? Hip-hop is a part of the culture. But more specifically, when we really say hip-hop is culture, we're talking about when hip-hop really represents good culture. Like when we say like Tupac, right? When we talk about Tupac, we say he's good culture. He was prophetic. He was revolutionary. He was running around with, you know, Dr. Khaled and things of that nature, right? He had the best of both worlds going on. So, you know, he was talking shit about Trump during this time. You know, Tupac really did represent a full spectrum of culture, right? You know, somebody who wasn't even raised in the streets, come from essentially a revolutionary background with Black Panther parents, you know, also grew up in theater, but then went to Oakland and got coded with the game. You feel me? And then, you know, he turned into a thug, but still conscious. And that dichotomy always showed itself. And that archetype has been played out over and over and over, people trying to match that energy. But when I say hip hop is not the culture, I mean it in a sense that when we go look at the Olympics is the culture, mm-hmm. right? The way we out there winning, right? Physically, we have a superior difference. Biologically, the way we showcase ourselves, that mental fortitude, that resilience of coming from them backgrounds, whether it's from the streets or whether you was a Harvard graduate and they break your records. That's our culture, like this greatness, this resilience. You feel me? Like Lauryn Hill can tour on one album because she made something that was so cultural that is forever, right? That's like she made a diamond of culture. Like it's just made of all things that we want to feel and hear. Oldies but goodies from the 70s. When we listen to that music, that feels like our culture. What's going on? Like that's energy. Yeah. You feel me? Like this shit that they making nowadays, it's culture, but it's not a good culture.
Yeah.
And we never differentiate. This is good culture. This is bad culture. Mm. Right? And when I was looking at the Olympics, something came to me. And I'm like, you know, media is so powerful. But what it does is it takes the least of us and it represents us. Mm. It represents the lowest common denominator. Mm. Right? That's what represents us. But in the Olympics, it's literally the best of us representing the rest of us. Mm. And that's supposed to be real culture, the best of us, so that we aspire. But our culture just makes us want to get more because we can't look at you and really want to be you. We just want what you got.
Yes.
Right? And in an aspirational culture, we wanted to be who you were.
Yes.
Because you stood for something. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, it wasn't fuck them niggas. It was fuck the police because you stood against the system. Mm. Now they just a part of the system. Mm. Right? Now they just go along to get along. Now they're in the industry, which is the business of managing the culture. But really, we just work for hip-hop because we don't own it.
Exactly.
So I really want to get into, you know, this statement about hip hop being culture, because you also said something in reference to 50 Cent being in Shreveport and how what's the brother that was
Hurricane Chris
criticizing him. But it's like then you have somebody who really has ascended from his beginnings in a lot of ways, doing something good economically for a city when nobody else is going to do anything.
Period.
And even if you have a distaste for the way he went about it, which was not including you, right, we still don't publicly go on a rampage and disrespect each other, right? So with all that said, man, what's your thoughts?
Well, I said that about Kodak. It's funny because Chastity and I, on the way rushing over here, I was kind of giving her a little backstory on my history. And I said to her, I was like, I used to be a hood nigga.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? And I was telling her, literally, as we were walking, I was telling her how it changed. And, you know, when you only can speak on the information you know, right? You know, like you can't punish someone for being what they were taught to be or thought there was the right thing to be. But my thought process is that because I'm educated, I can say to Chris, by the way, I said, you are right. Mm-hmm. You do have a point. But your point being right doesn't give you the right to disrespect him, because you also don't understand the game he's playing up here. So he's doing more for your city than you. And instead of you saying, yo, 50, I love what you did for my city, because it's the same feeling. Yo, I love what you did for my city. Yo, next time hit me, whatever you need, I got you. You would have got the same response. But you rather say, bitch, I had down the fuck. And I'm like, why are you talking to someone with so much vigor that didn't do something to your family or didn't do something to you? Like, I just don't understand how we hate each other so much or feel like we can disrespect each other so much and we can get the same message out without saying anything disrespectful. Like, I could tell you, I don't like that without calling you a... Can I curse? I don't want to curse.
Yeah, go ahead.
We call you a bitch ass nigga. It's like, I could eat, you know what I mean? Like, when me and Keith spoke, it was like, what's up, my brother? Like, I read something that said, it's easy to kill a nigga, but it's hard to kill your brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped saying, what's up, my nigga, and I start saying, what's up, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Because it's like, I see you differently now. So I'm obviously elevated because I had no choice because out of desperation. When you come from the hood and you want to be somebody, you got to change who you are. So I'm who I am based on desperation. Hip hop is dangerous because it's the only business, ecosystem, whatever you want to call it, where you don't have to change to get rich.
Mm.
Like, if you want to be a basketball player, they still like, you got to train,
right.
You got to eat away. You got to think about it. You want to make those M's, you got to go like train this.
Yeah.
You got to do so many things. And then once you get within that system, you got to maintain. You can't mess up because they'll kick you out the league unless you like LeBron. But then LeBron is LeBron because he didn't make those mistakes. Hip hop is the only thing where you can say I killed my nigga or I killed that bitch ass nigga and now you rich. Mm. So we're rewarding bad behavior. And my thing is, by the way, that's okay. If that's what you know and that's what got you out, that's okay. When TMZ approached me, they said, they brought up Malcolm Jamal Warner's term where he was like, I don't like hip hop no more because it feels like it's hurting us. And the TMZ person interviewed me was like, well, how do you feel about that? And I'm like, well, you know, when you're new and you make it out, you know, sometimes you got to do ugly stuff and you don't know no better. I've done dumb stuff in my life. I ain't gonna act like I'm perfect. But once I figured it out, I stopped. And she said, yeah, but what about the people on their third and fourth albums? I'm like, that's the problem. Y'all think just because somebody's rich, they've grown.
Yeah.
Just because he made millions of dollars, he still got the same hood niggas around, the same hood mentality. We got to, instead of judging, we got to open the doors and let everybody know they're welcome. We got to lead by example rather than criticize from the sideline. Because it's hard, bro.
Yeah.
What we do is really hard.
And it's like this. If I got a platform, and let's say I got a network, right? Now, I look at your content. It's popping. It's popular. People actually like it. But your content is negative as hell. It's detrimental as hell. But I know that if I put it on the network, it's going to get eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I'm going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the record label comes in, right? And we never put any guilt or any shame on them for their business practices, right? Because I can also spend a little harder work and go find somebody else that I believe represent a better aspect of the culture and put them on my network. But if I'm trying to get a quick dollar, I don't care about none of that. Right? Let me put them on. We get the eyeballs and then we repeat, rinse, and watch the process over and over again. So what is the responsibility, right? And what is the what level of accountability should we then attribute to the business practices of the record labels, right? Based on who they put on, because the reality is we say this a lot. You know, nobody want to hear that, right? But I think that's just an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, you know, Drake ain't a gangster rapper. Mm-mm. Kendrick ain't a gangster rapper. Cole ain't a gangster rapper. Big Sean ain't a gangster rapper. Eminem ain't a gangster rapper. Like, there's a lot of non-gangster rappers who's selling a lot.
Yes.
Right? So, and you talked about the lack of A&Rs and, like, development of artists these days. So is it that thing that they don't really want to develop artists? Right? It's like, I'd rather just sell you some junk food. I sell you McDonald's rather than go get me a 5-star chef. I know making better food, but this is easier to sell though. So I'd rather sell 100,000 of these, right? Than go have to go open up a 5-star Michelin starred restaurant and then sell something good to the people.
Yeah. Man, so I don't know if you know this, but I'll just tell you guys So here's why I'm who I am today. So I've been great at what I do. I've been great in the music. Like, I'm better than 99% of the people that do this. Like, and by the way, I'm only saying that because what I'm doing right now proves that I'm better. And let me give you a little bit about the story. So I've always been the clear black guy. I didn't know I was clear. Now, white people are very passive aggressive. I didn't know I was clear. I was invited to their table, every table. And the pandemic happened. And then, you know, I'm SVP of a label. I got a good, everything. I'm on cruise control. I'm the number one guy over there. And then the CEO of the label I was on, the label I worked for, was a good friend of mine. And it's a very interesting how life changes for black men and white men as they get older, right? Black men kind of fade out when they get gray. White men fade in. They tell a black man, oh, you ain't cool no more, because in the music business, our number one currency is cool. Like, if a black man is there, we cool, right? You know, like when a pop artist wants to drop a record, you put a nigga on it, oh my God, we cool, right? So the pandemic happens, and, you know, I live in Atlanta, and Atlanta is the only place that I see free black people, right? And I make all my money in LA and New York. So the pandemic happens, and then the George Floyd thing happens, and now, you know, the uprising happened. Now, mind you, that don't really happen in this city. Like, we had a situation, and I don't know if people live here, but y'all know Atlanta's different. Like, when they was tearing up University Avenue, Keisha Lance Bottoms got on the radio on TV and said, oh, I need Tip and Killer Mike down here right now.
Yeah.
Tip and Killer Mike came down and said, stop this shit. We ain't doing that. Right? So Atlanta was free. It's different than LA and New York. Like, all my friends in Atlanta own. All my friends in LA and New York rent, right? It's just, we free here.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a great moment. So, okay, so let me give you the story. So they call this emergency phone call, right? Everybody get on a Zoom in the next 15 minutes. And we don't do that. Like, it's like, so I'm thinking, like, somebody died. Like, oh my God, one of our artists must have died. Something bad happened, because they're like, everybody get on this call in 15 minutes company-wide. So we get on the call, and, you know me, I'm like trying to figure out what's going on. And then they're like, the uprising. And I'm like, no, though, this is not a call about the riot. So I'm shocked. I'm like, that's what this is about? And they're like, so, you know, how's everybody doing out there? And I'm like, I'm good. Like, I got acres. I'm in my pool. I'm living the life. So they're like, how y'all doing? And then, this, like I said, the CEO was my friend. I said, was, notice, because we came up together. And at this moment, he's the CEO. I'm his black friend. I got his back. And he's talking to the staff. And then he ends the call by saying, and to all the black employees, if you guys have something you want to say right now, get off your chest. We are here for you. Speak. And I knew when he said that, nobody was going to speak. Because I'm like, it's a fucking miracle that we are here. You think I'm going to fuck up my family from eating? Just talk about an uprising when we've been seeing Rodney King and people get killed? So we, y'all are on it. This is y'all feeling bad. We like, okay. So I wrote him a letter. And I remember thinking, like, you know what? Let me be professional. He's the CEO. Now, let me give him respect of his job. Because I would have just called him, but I wrote him a letter. And it was just like, hey, man, I know you ask people to what they do, but they're never going to respond, because here's the black experience. As a friend, like, we're told you work twice as hard to make half as much. Is that not what we all been told? Right? This is so I'm kind of letting them into, like, our house. Like, hey, look. We got told to get work twice as hard to get half as much. The top black person always reports to a bigger white person over him. So when you ask us to speak and say our mind, we're not going to risk that. So I wrote this letter, and I was like, you know what, Ray? Instead of you sending it, this might be a good opportunity to make this a moment. So I sent it to the only two black people who were above me. Right? Because I was the third most powerful black person in the whole company, 200 people. So I sent it to them, and I was like, hey, guys, I wrote this letter to such and such and such and such. I just want to share, but I want to get your thoughts. Like, you want to add something to it? Do you want to put an our signature? I'm just trying to think, like, this is a moment for us black people to educate our white counterparts. So the black lawyer sends me an email, and he goes, what the hell is the point of this letter? This has nothing to do with George Floyd. this is not about the uprising. This feels like a selfish moment for you trying to figure out a way to get. And I was like, that's what you think it is? Oh, my bad. So now I'm a Virgo. I live in my head, right? So I couldn't sleep, right? You understand, I wrote this letter. It was like Jerry Maguire. It was really my Jerry Maguire moment. I wrote this letter thinking, let me help.
Yeah.
So he rips it apart. So I'm like, damn, was it that bad? So I sent it to one of my Black executive friends. Like, yo, bro, it's like 6 a.m. I'm like, I can't sleep because I wrote a letter, but such and such at this company, he just said it was terrible. He was like, send it to me. I'm up. Send it to him. He on the West Coast. Send it to him and I go to sleep. Cause I'm like, I just needed, I just couldn't believe that he said all that to me. So I was like, I sent it to a friend because all skin folk ain't kinfolk, right? You got to know that, right? So I sent it to another friend and he hit me back 3 hours later, 9:00 a.m, guys. I wake up to him saying, bro, wait. I'm like, I just went to sleep. I just hit you 3 hours ago. What's up? He's like, that letter you wrote, it's incredible. I sent it to Larry Jackson, who's at the time is the number one guy at Apple. So I'm like, okay. And he said, Larry wants to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. So Larry gets on the phone and he talks to me for 1.5 hours about the letter. And he's like, Ray, this is my experience. And mind you, you can hear me talk until I'm from the hood. When you hear Larry talk, you would think he went to Harvard.
Yeah.
And his parents, he lived in a white neighborhood. But Larry is really a real dude. Didn't graduate high school. He played the game, right? So Larry says, I hope you don't mind, but I sent this letter to the head of Billboard magazine and she wants to talk to you. So I'm like, okay, cool. So this white woman gets on the phone and she says, I'm a white woman, but this letter changed my life.
Mm.
It's my experience as a white woman. And then she says, now this is when it gets tricky. Then she says, I want to publish this. And I'm like, sure. I mean, I wrote it for them, but it's all about experience. I don't mind. Yeah. And she says, but I don't want to put your name on it. And I'm like, why? Like, and she was like, trust me, I'm protecting you. So I'm like, okay, I guess. Don't put my name on it. I just wanted the letter to be out there. It goes out. It's on a cover of Billboard and goes crazy. It's like, it's viral. Everybody's talking about this letter. It's called, everybody want to know, it's called Dear White Music Executives.
Mm.
I wrote the letter. So now I'm being, you know, so now it's crazy. So now you got Black people crying, reading this letter, like, oh my God, someone finally put into words how we feel. So then you got white people looking for me. They looking for who wrote the letter. No, but it's like, but it was like, it was with good intent.
Yeah.
Because they were saying, our Black employees, my Black employees are crying, saying that if they want to know how it feels to be Black, this the letter. So Ray, if you stood on it, it will mean so much more. So I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm from Atlanta. I mean, nigga, I'm free. In Atlanta, we can get to $1 million and never interact with a white person I like. So I'm like, I don't have white fear. I've never had a bad white experience. I live in Atlanta. So I was like, okay. And then, so my people called me. They're like, yo, by the way, everybody Black in the music business knew I wrote it. Everybody, because they would like, because we talk, you know, but like, protect Ray. So then one of my friends called me like, yo, it's this white lady. She wants to see, but she has Black kids. She adopted, well, she had like, I guess she has Black kids. She's gay also, but she had like kids from, I guess, a Black man. I don't know how. I'm not being funny. I'm just, she's a gay Black woman. And she has Black kids, right? So she's like, so he's like, she wants to talk to you. So I'm like, okay, I'd love to talk to her. So she gets on the phone. She's like, Ray, you are a bad motherfucker. You can't, this letter is going to change the world and you got to stand on it. And I'm like, I would have stood on it in the first place. I don't mind. And then she goes, you got to stand on it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to call your bosses and tell them it was you. Okay. Listen, y'all, I cannot believe that I have money in the bank and I have people that work for me because I was not supposed to be any of this. I was supposed to be working somewhere at McDonald's. That was the trajectory of my life until I woke up. That's why I said the dash. So now, and the story is very important because when you introduced me, I was like, damn, I am free. But I didn't want to be free.
Mm.
I didn't even know I wasn't free. I was just doing my job. So now the letter comes out. She calls my bosses. They're like, Ray wrote it. Great. We love Ray. Stand on it. We're going to back him. So I'm like, cool. Now, here's the very interesting part of the story. All the white people that knew I wrote it called me and said, get what you can get. I swear to God, if all the black people were calling me saying, thank you. So white people are like, yo, now that Ray, get a new deal, get a new this, they're going to take care of you because they're afraid of you right now. And I'm like, I don't want them to give me a new deal because of that. I'm the shit at what I do. I'm putting up more points than anybody. So then they talk to me and all they're asking me, the two bosses, mind you, one is my friend. What do you want? What do you want?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want nothing. Well, I just wrote the letter to help. It was my moment to help you see us get along. Okay, cool. So you don't want nothing? No, I don't want to benefit from exposing our hardships. Like, that's some sucker shit to me, right? That's because now whatever y'all give me, y'all giving it to me because I exposed something, which means y'all probably want me to not do that no more. I'm like, I don't want nothing. They're like, cool. So at that moment, I don't know this, but I'm public enemy number one.
Mm.
For 2 years, I'm in a 3-year contract. I wrote it my 1 year in, and I'm public enemy number one for the next 2 years, but I don't know. They're nice to me, but they're whispering around me, and I don't know. So now, this very important story, and I don't think I've ever told it, but I want to tell it to you because I want you to understand how I got here. So now the letter comes out. They know it's me. My face is on the cover of Billboard everywhere. Front cover of Billboard, my face. Ray Daniels stands on it. He's the guy exposing, da da da. So now I'm being treated like a hero. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not an activist. I'm a capitalist at heart. Like, I'm not an activist. I just want to get money for me and my people and help my people get money. If you look, it's black people, but I'm not like the power to the people. I've never been that guy. I've always been get that money because it don't matter if you don't have no money. So in there, so in the music business, when you're in a contract, when 6 months out of your contract, they tell you if they're going to renew or not. Out of respect. This is everybody. Yo, Keys, yo, we ain't going to renew your contract. Go look for other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
10 months into my contract being over, they call my lawyer and say, we love Ray. Don't shop him. Do not take him to nobody. He's our main guy. Because I was. But I didn't feel it, but I was based on numbers. So now my lawyer calls and I'm like, she's like, Ray, I'm not going to shop you. They love you. And I'm like, they do? Okay. Because the white woman who said she's going to expose, tell them it was me, she became my lawyer. She was like, I'm going to be a lawyer now. If anybody fuck with you, it's a wrap. So I'm thinking like, man, I'm golden. I'm good at my job, but I'm golden. They tell my lawyer 10 months out, call me, Ray. Ask for $150,000 bump. We're going to give you that labor deal you want. I'm like, okay, perfect. I didn't think y'all liked me because y'all never really smiled with me, but okay. They told me, and then 3 months, I'm lying to y'all, my contract expired January 14th, 2021. They called me January 11th, 2021. Meanwhile, while I'm waiting for my contract to come, to say, you ain't getting no contract. Matter of fact, today your last day, we ain't renewing it. And I'm like, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I'm gonna be honest. I drove home for a month straight every day crying. And the reason why is because it wasn't because they did that. It was because I thought he was my friend.
Mm.
And I would have never shoot at a friend. I'll take the punch before I shoot at a friend. But I'm like, damn, my friend. Because in the music business, let me give you a little insight in the music business. You can be my friend and I won't mess with you or my boss and stuff, so I don't like you. But I'm gonna do like this. I'm gonna give you a new contract. Knowing that I'm going to fire you 6 months in, but they got to pay you for the next 2.5 years. That's how they take care of their friends. So I'm like, damn, yeah. So they let me go. So now they put me in a hard position because my studio's connected to them. Everything's connected to them. So now, mind you, they call me January 11th. I need to pay my $20,000 rent at my studio January 1st. I'm invoicing them. They hit me. Oh, it ain't nothing coming. You done. So I'm like, they wanted me to scramble. They wanted to kill me. So at that moment, I say, I got two choices. I can go beg for tips, or I could do what I see people like you doing on the internet. That's why I always give, and Chastity knows, that's why I give people like you, Ernie Leisure, because I was like, it's a renaissance happening when these guys talking and they building business. I'm being honest with y'all. So I swear to God, I say, I ain't asking nobody for a job.
Mm.
Somebody asked me a question, put the camera on me. I know more than all these things. Ask me a question. So I had this girl would just come to the studio and say, Ray, what's the difference between a manager and an investor? I'm like, boom, I'll put it out, goes crazy. Put it out, I had like 18,000 followers when I started putting out content. I'm at like 157,000, but it was organic. It was just ask me questions about anything and I'm going to answer it. And then, but I'm being honest with y'all. My real plot was if they see me talking and they know I'm smart, they're going to realize we should hire Ray back or somebody should hire me. I just didn't want to go ask for a job because if I ask for a job, they're going to say, what happened now? Such and such. I thought you was the main guy because I'm the main guy. By the way, Sweetie ain't had no hits since I left. Let's be clear. I was making the, I did Sweetie's best friend, Sweetie Tapping. That was me in the room with my producers. She ain't had a hit since I left. That's why I'm the best. So I'm talking. And then what really happened, I'm going to stand up to demonstrate. So I got a mic outside and I'm in front of the three buildings, Warner, Sony, and Universal. Like, this is what a manager does. This is what happened. And then I turned around and I saw people behind me. I'm like, oh, it's actually a crowd of people that like what I'm saying. So now I'm like, how do we monetize? How do we make money? I'm going to be honest with y'all. First of all, let's be clear. That job was 20% of my income. I'm a millionaire because of my company. But when you're connected to a major company, it just makes your business more attractive.
Yeah.
It's like you making $10 million a year on your own, or you making $10 million a year, but you connected to Nike. Mm-hmm. So you could walk around and say, Nike, that's stupid, that's a deal. So it was a sexiness. So I had to ask myself, how much do you believe in yourself? Because do you really need to be next to a name to feel like you that nigga? I'm like, hell no, I'm in Atlanta. I'm that nigga. I made it this far with no real mentorship, no real help. Put a camera on. So then it starts going crazy. And then, by the way, the guy from Warner, that the CEO, well, I said the company, fuck it. He calls me and apologizes. Well, we take me to lunch and apologize. Man, I'm sorry, I did you dirty. That's all I needed. But now I don't ever want to go work for y'all.
Yeah.
Because what you start realizing is it's a really difficult position to be in. So rest in peace to Club Godzilla. But for the sake of being honest with the story, I got to tell the truth, and it was his song. So he has a song where he's like, where the girl goes, I ain't gay, but I let a bitch eat me out. So I'm trying to sign him, right? Monday through Friday, I'm trying to sign him. I love the record. Oh, my God. Saturday, I'm at the house, and I see my 11-year-old niece in the pool at the house singing the same song. I'm conflicted. Then you have this moment where you're like, do I want to save me or do I want to save us?
Mm.
Because you got to realize the music you're putting out is poison. But you also, that poison is also feeding your family and putting your kids through school. So it's like, what do you do? I was like, I'm a capitalist, but I also realize how they did me. I'm going to become a revolutionary capitalist. I'm going to tell you how to get some money, but I'm also tell you how you don't need those mother, how they need you.
Yeah.
And that's, so when you said I was free, I kind of was like, I walked in, I was like, I'm free. Like I said, a free nigga just said I'm free. I'm about to be free out here. So that's why I had to give you that story because I didn't know I was free until they released me. And then I realized I was free. And now I realize that. And I tell anybody, if you could stomach it, because it's hard. If you could, because my phone stopped ringing, it rings like crazy now. My phone stopped ringing. And when you end the game, that's why people, when they leave the league, they go broke. They go broke because they depressed. They're not waking up at 8 a.m. no more, getting in practice. It's like, now they waking up at 8 a.m. at home. Yeah. So that's why they gain weight. They get depressed. They blow through their money because they miss the game. And I have to tell myself, I am the game.
Talk to him.
And once I, and now that I'm, now, and to be honest with you, I feel more powerful than any A&R in the business because none of them have real power anyway because I know we only allowed to sign when the data tells us we can sign. So you could have the song of the year and it could be Fight the Power Part 2. Fight the Power. Like, it could be that powerful. What's the number say?
Mm-hmm.
And you could have a song saying, kill niggas, kill your mama. And it's a million streams, Ray go get that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking like, in your community, that shit is entertainment. In my community, that shit is the way of life. So your kids grow up listening to it. So I remember I said, I'm gonna tell you about what happens with black men and white men as they get older. Because all white kids love hip hop, right? And then when they get older, they stop dressing like hip hop, right? They start dressing like white people, like not, they're not cool, but like, you know what I mean? Like just being out, y'all know what I'm saying, right? And then all of a sudden they start dressing like, so even my friend that was at the head of the company, he used to be in the studio smoking weed, everything. And then, you know, we was boys. And now all of a sudden he's like, hey, how you doing, brother? So I'm like, so I'm kind of waiting for him to wink his eye at me, like, and he's like, he ain't winking his eye. It was like, oh, you different. And then now I'm, because I think at some point in time, their community pulls them to the side and says, all right, enough with the fun. Enough with the BS. Now it's time for you to be one of us. And we don't have a one of us because one, when we get gray, they tell them, go home. So now our little boys are looking at us like, oh, broke ass nigga. Broke ass nigga. That's why you mad. You broke. That's why I gotta say I'm a multimillionaire. I own all my cars, all my houses, everything I own. I don't have no debt. And I gotta say that to kids to say, and I did it my way. Mm. And you can too. That's really what I want to say to the world. You don't have to kick their ass. They don't know shit. I'm in the rooms with them. We signed this kid. I'll tell you the truth. NLE Chopper. We in the meet. I don't give a fuck. I'm a free nigga, right? We in the room, NLE Chopper. I saw NLE Chopper, right? By the way, Chopper is a superstar. Love that kid. He's really smart. He understands. I can't wait to see his growth as a man. Because when he grows as a man, everything's going to elevate around him. We signed Chopper as the hottest artist in the world. We in the room, bobbing our head to every song. I'm thinking like, okay, they fine with this, okay. And as soon as we walk out the room, the white people say, is that good? I'm like, you was bobbing your head though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it good? Did you like it? And I'm like, it's good, but it could be better. Oh, okay, cool. I'm just making sure it's me because it's not good to me, but we got to sign them because we need our market share. Imagine if we just...
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Told him that. Just tell him that. Because if a real nigga will respect it.
Yeah.
A real nigga will respect it. The part that messes us up is that we come from nothing and all we crave is family, love. That's why you can get kids joining gangs. You just want to feel like you belong to something. You just want somebody to hug you and say, I see you, little nigga. I see you trying, little nigga. That was me. I was that little nigga that wanted somebody to hug me and it didn't happen. So when you start getting older and you start realizing what's going on, you start realizing like, I craved that shit. And I stopped craving the love when I became a father at 28. Now I'm like, ain't nobody gonna ever little nigga me. I got a little son. Ain't nobody gonna ever little boy me. I'm a father now. You ain't gonna, I'm a man. So you start realizing we just want to belong to something. And they know that. And that's why they bring us in and they let you come and they tell you this is a family, but they don't give a fuck about you. Because if they did, they would have more people that look like you in those rooms. Not more people that, you understand what I'm trying to say? They really care. Like if I'm in Atlanta, if I signed a kid from Zimbabwe and I had a friend from or a restaurant that was a Zimbabwe restaurant, I would make sure those people knew he was here. And he could, yo, if you ever want to feel like home, that's your home. But you home with me, but that's also your home. They don't want that around. We don't need rate giving these little niggas no conscience. We need these little niggas making as much poison as possible so we can get our market share up. And that's when Ray is like, well, Ray, you going to go keep helping them or you going to help your people? Mm. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to help my people. But you got to stomach it, though, because your people might look at you like, oh, whatever. Yeah, you just saying that. So you got to show them the candy. You got to show them the money you made. You got to show them the cars. That shit don't matter to me. What matters to me is what's in here and what's in here. But you got to show them that you got that so they can know you know something. Now, I tell that when I'm with white people, I'm like, you don't understand us. They don't understand us. And I'm good at translating us. I'm the one nigga that can talk to everybody and tell you the real in a way that doesn't make you feel bad as a white person. That was me. Like, Nipsey got killed. I'm in a room with some very powerful white people. I walk in the room. I hear them laughing. The day Nipsey got killed. The day. I hear them laughing. Walk in. They laughing. I walk in, they stop laughing. You know me, I'm like, fuck, it's so funny. Y'all laughing at me? Nah, we weren't laughing at you. I'm like, what y'all laughing at then? They kind of look at each other, then somebody go, Ray, can I ask you a question? Like, of course. Do you know what Tom Petty is? I'm like, of course I know. He sings the song, I'm free, free falling. Yeah, Tom, you know, that's why we like you. You get it. So I was like, what about him? You know Tom Petty died last year from cancer, right? And I was like, no. He said, so I'm like, where you going with this? He said, can you name one Nipsey song? Can you? And I was like, oh, y'all don't understand why he matters so much. Y'all don't know why his death feels as powerful as Pac's, because y'all don't know his music. So I said, let me tell y'all why his death matters. Because when you're young and you're black, the right thing to do is to invest in your neighborhood. Invest in your people. Get a girl. Love that woman. Love your kids. Support. And he did all of that. And he still got killed in front of the store he put to help the people. Mm. So it's like, so we know nobody's going to try that again for the next few years. So they just set our community back. That's why it matters. And it's like, oh, wow, Ray, thank you for that. We know who he is, but we just can't understand. And I'm like, it's okay. The same way we don't, y'all Tom Petty died from cancer and we don't give a fuck about that. That's why I didn't know. By the way, and when I said that, they bust out laughing and we laughed and chugged it up and went back to business. I've always the nigga that would tell you the real and stay true to my roots because I think that there's a balance to that. And I became the enemy. And now they cut niggas' throat and all these buildings. Now every nigga's like, man, I should do what Ray is doing. Oh, now you should have done what I was doing? But you was over there thought you was going to be good because they told you you was good today. But here's the thing. When I left that company, my kids ain't miss a meal. I ain't missed them. Now, I think I might have got richer and better. And you know why? Because God got me. And as long as I'm doing right and not allowing you evil motherfuckers to make me turn into an evil motherfucker, I won. And I won. So now I killed. Now y'all can't get to me because I won. And my voice matters to all of you motherfuckers. If I go on record right now and say, don't sign to that company because I feel like I can get your ass fired. Or I can get somebody to ban me or they're going to kill me. But I really believe I have that much power to say, don't sign to that label because here's the CEO. And by the way, I know all of them. I know everything about all of them because we all did dirt and had fun together. So don't fuck with me, man. Just let me keep helping my people like you helped yours and we'll be great. And I'm cool with that. And I have no problem with you guys helping your people. But why the fuck is it always a problem when I want to help mine? Mm. You know why? Because my people is how y'all make all y'all money. Yeah. Now I realize I'm the enemy. Sorry, bro. I had to get that speech. I didn't mean to be so long with it. I did not say that.
This was the easiest interview, man. I just had to let the energy ask the questions. He's just going off of it. Nah, it's real because I think that it was a lot of parts of your story that bring up a lot of different things. First, I want to talk about this inverse between how white men fade in and black men fade out. Mm. Because I think that's something important. I know a lot of wealthy black men contact me these days and they trying to figure out how to fade in. You know, because they've been so out this whole entire time, they made their money and now they want some sort of significance and recognition. Because who wants to die unremembered? Mm. Right? So when you see a Nipsey Hussle and he's remembered forever, long as there's a hip hop, people remember Nipsey Hussle. But here you are, you put all these numbers up, you got all this money in the bank, you got houses, you might be a black unicorn. But if you die tomorrow, nobody go clap their hands. Nobody go celebrate you. Mm-hmm. Nobody go sing your memorial. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's ambition versus aspiration.
Yeah.
You gained a lot, but didn't become much.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And so it felt like a lot when you were gaining
exactly.
It, but nobody cares.
It didn't matter to
me. It did not matter. It didn't create an impact.
Yes.
And so they see me free. Speaking how they wish they could. They like, mm-hmm. Man, that perspective you gave, I felt it, but I can't speak it. And that has to be an odd, weird feeling to think you powerful and got money and think you above certain people, but you don't have that wealth to speak truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because it cost a lot to speak truth. I mean, a lot. To the point where they had to give up most of their money and connections just to say what's on their mind.
Yep.
You have to be extremely wealthy to speak truth. And it don't come from money. You know, it comes from courage.
Yeah.
And everybody can't afford that.
Perspective.
Not in the position that they in. So it's like now, you got to create an opportunity for a lot of these guys to be like, you know what? All right, you won't in. You can get in, but then you have to support people who are already in it.
Yep.
You feel me? You have all of this money. You have all of this access. all right, well, this is how you get recognized now, because it's okay that you started off that way, but ended this way. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And what we don't always do, because the white guys and the white people that called you as you wrote that letter, they understood something different. See, while black people was happy, they understood this is power. Mm-hmm. Ray must want something, because anytime we publish something like that, we're leveraging that for power, because we play a power game.
Yes.
That's the dynamics of how the masses operate in America.
Yes.
So they asking you, like, you must be playing a game how we play it.
Yep.
So what you want?
Yeah.
And they would have respected if you actually asked, because they'd be like, all right, he played the game, well played, yep. Ray. But it's actually more dangerous if you don't want nothing.
Yep.
Right? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad once said, we love the devil because the devil gives us nothing.
Mm.
Right? Because whatever they gave you wouldn't have been nothing, because all they would have been doing is buying.
Yep.
Right? Yep. And so now they're like, wait a minute. If we can't control you, then we don't want you.
Yes. Or we don't.
If we
need to know your power.
Yeah.
No. What they said, if they know what you love, they own you.
They need to know your price.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
They need to know your price.
Yeah.
They don't need a free nigga working for them.
Hell no.
Because you unhinged.
Yep.
You will say what you want to say, do what you want to do, and at any point in time, they don't know how to hold it over your head. So let's let him go and stop empowering him. Look at Jaylen Brown. They you know, Stephen A. Smith talking about he's not marketable, right? They saying he's too smart. Like, they pushing propaganda against him. And he's, you know, had at one point in time, somebody just got a bigger contract. He met all of his qualifications, got the biggest contract in NBA history, and said, I'm going to build Black Wall Street. Right? He played in the Big Three. They was mad as hell at him for playing in the Big Three with Ice Cube.
Yep.
Because, you know, for them, they like, how dare you legitimize any other thing? We supposed to be able to monopolize this.
Mm.
Right? We're supposed to have a complete monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to go support nobody else's endeavors whatsoever. But they also know that if, you know, we make this too public and fine you, then it's only going to bring more publicity to his league.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's not touch that. But they did what they did to you. But later on, don't worry, you're not going to them Olympics.
Yep.
You're not going to be on Team USA. Don't worry. We know that we can't just outwardly show our venomous. So we're going to make you, you know what I mean, the MVP.
Yep.
Because you did win the championship. You did do everything an MVP does, and we just not going to do our part.
Yep.
Because you too free.
Yep.
And the one thing a man never wants to do is empower a free man. If I'm going to give you hundreds of millions of dollars, I don't know what the hell you going to do.
Mm-mm.
So first, you have to show them your allegiances. You have to show them that you can be bought and paid for. You have to show them what you fear. You can't come in this game too free. And even black men are afraid of another free black man, right? They don't, I love you, bro. I see what you're doing. But you know that you got power to empower, but you won't do that.
Yep.
Because you think it's too much power, right? And if I'm not controlled by what you control by, then you don't want to do that because you think I'm going to affect your bottom line.
Mm.
So people don't want to be the next Nipsey Hussle. And even while he was alive, they didn't want to be standing next to Nipsey because he represented what they wasn't,
mm-hmm.
right? And to this day, he make people feel guilty. Wait a minute, the reason I'm celebrating Nipsey Hussle ain't even what I'm living by.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you then say, this is why I love Nipsey, but then you go do the opposite? Because you say you're afraid. But Nipsey did it, understanding the background that people do get killed, and he still did it.
Yep.
That's because he was courageous enough.
Yep.
It wasn't that he wasn't conscious of the realities. He was putting out book lists, reading messages to the black man. He was letting you know, I got knowledge of self, but I'm going to do this to try to create a shift. And even if I die, I'll still be the symbol of change for my people.
Mm.
Like, he represented that. He sacrificed himself at the end of the day because he believed that he was living for something greater, right? And so, of course, there's a lot of things that we have to do to create longevity, but I always look at it like, when somebody stand out on that front line, you have to stand there with them, right? We at this point in time where the people have to take on the onus that if there's somebody that's going to lead you, you have to protect the leader.
Period.
Because a leader gonna put their life on the line, not to get killed. You feel me? But so we can have a better life, but they're willing to die.
Yep.
And you know they're willing to die because they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the reality of it is nowadays, man, y'all let a leader get assassinated, not just physically, right? But you let him get assassinated on court of public opinion for making a mistake. But at the end of the day, you gonna go jump and vote for whoever while giving grace to a politician, regardless of their background. So I look at it to be like, you, the same way we give grace to politicians, whether you're going for Trump and you can say, forget his record, I want him to lead us because you see something bigger. The same way you can give grace to Kamala and say, forget her record because I want her to lead us. You have to get that same grace when it comes to black leadership.
Because
you'll give your money, you'll get on your platform, you'll fly out yourself to go represent them so that they can lead you. Because why? You think that, you know, what they're doing is bigger than their humanity. Mm. But we've never given that grace to Black leaders. They still trying to bring up Martin Luther King past. You know what I mean? While he's, while we 50 years past that and still trying to villainize the man. Mm-hmm. As if what he did wasn't bigger than any of his discrepancies throughout life. But if we can't give our people grace, then why do we give everybody else grace? Mm. So I believe that that's something that we have to learn how to do. Otherwise, who wants to stand out there and fight for us if we're not going to fight for them? And I look at the blueprint of leadership, right? If it takes, you know, y'all got on the Zoom call, they got on the Zoom for Kamala. If it takes 100,000 men, 40,000 Black men, 100,000 white dudes, whatever, and they're raising money and showing you a process of leadership. First of all, you can't do it without money. Can't go to war without money. So what you're talking about is very real, right? But when you talk about being a revolutionary capitalist, as you making money, but you still stand for something.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Which is very much possible because we live in the freest times to be alive. We have technology. We have each other. We have resources. Only thing we lack is a collective mindset. That's we're so individual. Look, and I want to get your take on this because hip hop is lost its groups. There's no collectives in hip hop. There used to be the ASAP Mob. You used to have the Migos, right? Wu-Tang. I mean, there's so many groups. Now it's every man for themselves. Now that's going backwards, right? Because the beauty we love the groups, it represented family, it represented community, it represented what was possible. When we see people link up, we have support them just because they linking up because we need that.
Yeah.
But now everybody's falling apart. And it's disrespectful and it's dangerous. And you can't say that that's culture because it's setting a bad precedent. And if we say, well, you got, well, at least they got money. Damn. At least they got money is the lowest. A prostitute has money. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And so if money becomes like the standard, right, then there are no standard at all because money is dirty. You feel me? So what we really talking about is what are the standards? Like, can we even hold people accountable? We people get into hip hop and no matter who you are, you can be celebrated and lauded in front of the people. But like you said, you made a powerful point. You don't even have to change, right? In every job, there's a uniform, there's qualifications, there's principles, there's things you have to uphold. Like, yeah.
Tuck your pants in, shave your beard.
Once you get into this culture, you gotta, you know what I mean? You gotta start representing us a little bit. You feel me? All right, you started off, I understand, you're a street and you did what you had to do. So you spoke from your perspective. But once you get in, like, or it's the rap you in and being like, all right, you part of the culture. Like, we got you. That means that you gonna follow the rules of the culture. And now you initiate it. But you don't just have free reign to represent it however you want to. Mm-hmm. That's disrespectful. And then I want you to give the point about how we see, they talk about a lot of white boys that come in represented a certain way. And then they go back and turn white.
Yep.
Right? And it's like, damn, we allow people to come in, represent the culture, get money, get tattoos, act all gangster, you know what I mean? Talk about drugs, things of that nature. And then they all of a sudden have a life change. And then they go back to being white.
Yeah.
And then they got their white audience. But they use the influence of Black culture to get in position. But now they white now that they got their money. So, you know, like Post Malone, you feel me? Like, how do we get back that power to where, or I don't even want to ask you a question about how. I just want to get your perspective.
I gotta say, I actually think everything, our biggest problem is the collective mindset that you said. If we have to stop publicly challenging each other, like, I could think you the worst human being on the world for my culture. I'm not going to say it out loud if you look like me. I'm going to pull you to the side and talk to you. And if I feel like you don't hear me after that and you're like, fuck, I'm going to do whatever, then I'm going to tell us, watch him. I'm not going to tell them, go get all the money with them, they'll see. But I'm going to tell us to watch him because they are taught to protect themselves. Want to hear a funny story? Mm. I got blackballed in the music business by a major publishing company that I did major business with. And I got blackballed because, like, literally, the CEO told me, you're never coming in my building again. You're done over here. And I just did a 3-year deal with them. So the story is that my writers was there and I had a partnership there.
My partnership got read up. I'm stupid because I had a deal to go over there, and this black dude was my mentor, looked out for me, and I came to him like, yo, I appreciate the start, but they're giving me a better deal. He tells me, let's go for a walk. And he tells me, by the way, he really is the dude that changed me from being like a hustler to a businessman. I'll save that story. But he tells me, he walks me around the building, and he's like, look, you know such and such as I've been here now, right? The big boss. I'm like, yeah. He said, I need you to stay here. Matter of fact, it was even realer than that. He said, I've sent her 4 emails and she has responded once. I know she loves you. If I send her an email about you and she's like, re-sign that, I need you to walk away from that deal. And I called my lady and I was like, such and such wants me to stay. And these other guys want me to get a good opportunity. And she said, stay, because he looked out for you. Cool, I stay. Now my guys, it's time to stay. She wants me and then she wants them. They're the big whale. I'm the baby whale, but she thinks I'm the whale that they follow. So they decided to go somewhere else. But it wasn't because they decided. It was because her attorney was moving slow. I knew this. My guy's attorney knew this. You'll love this story. This is when it was like, yo. So I called this woman and I'm like, hey, they don't want to resign, but I'm here. Let's go. And she was like, they're not resigning. You're not welcome. You're banned from this building. Never. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. It wasn't me. Your lawyer wasn't responding. We was hitting them. I was chasing them down. And she's like, I don't want to hear that. It's you. So I call my guy's Jewish lawyer. Swear to God. I said, yo, bro, such just told me I'm banned from the building. I'm stuck over there for 3 years. I got a 3-year deal. And he said, so I said, we got to let her know that old boy was the one that dropped the ball. All my kids, this lawyer says to me, he going to get fired if we do that. And I'm like, so? And he said, a Jew getting another Jew lawyer fired? I need to talk to my rabbi before I make that kind of I never knew what a rabbi was until that day. And literally, it was like, damn, you just did a $5 million deal with us and made all that money. And now I'm messed up over here. And you're telling me I'm not throwing that lawyer under the bus because he looks like me unless my rabbi tell me it's okay. Imagine how we would be if we did that. Imagine how before I hurt you, I said, let me call 19 Keys and see what he thinks.
Yeah.
And now you're like, yo, Ray, think about it.
Yeah.
But we don't trust each other. We don't trust each other. And if we trust each other that way, think about how powerful it'd be. We ain't got to like each other. We ain't got to love each other. But we just got to trust that he won't do that to me, because if he did, his entire family might disown him because of what he did to another black man.
And see, that's bigger than trust. That's consequences.
Yes.
Because you ain't even got to trust me, but you know you can trust the consequences.
Yep.
That you get that subscription that you have, this membership, this access, because it goes way beyond just your job. It's your family.
Yep.
Your kids got to go to school.
Period.
Right? Y'all want to get invited to the next situation that we got going on. You want access to these things. This is your life.
Period.
Right? And so this is why it's a beautiful reality when you think about it. We can learn a lot from other people and how they operate, but we think it's a bad thing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's not. That's where you get into the master thinking and the slave thinking, right? The slave think it's wrong to create the rules.
Mm.
The slave think it's wrong to look out for your own. The slave think it's wrong to set precedents and create your own religion and system and order and structures. Why? Because he believes that the master is wrong for having him as a slave. So anything associated to the master he doesn't want to do, he rejects that power.
Yes.
Right? But anything of the slave morality must be good, because I'm the slave and I'm good and they bad. So if somebody's making my rules, then that's the right thing. And that's how we've gotten.
Exactly.
Because we never, we didn't think about, no, the master is wrong, not being in the master's position, right? The goal is I should make my own rules. No, we should look out for each other. The difference is I'm not evil though, right?
Yeah.
They evil. And they have, the masters have a fraternity and a culture that protects that. And they don't even, most of these people don't believe in God.
I want to ask you a question.
But they don't care about believing in God. They say, listen, if you claim to be black and you say you're a part of this culture, you have to follow these rules. Otherwise, Ray, we got that next Invest Fest. We ain't inviting you, brother.
Real.
Not only not inviting you, I'm going to tell Brian them to stop doing business with you.
I want to ask you a question.
why do you say, and this is real talk, why do you say they're evil? And let me tell you why I say that. I follow these animal pages, right? And on these animal pages that I follow, they have this thing they do. Like, I found an animal page where you see lions hunting, and you'll just see a lion walk up to a boar and eat the baby right there. And it's like as a human, it's like, damn, that's a baby boar. But that's just for their survival.
Right.
I don't think they're evil. I just think that they're going to choose them. It's their nature of survival. It's like, I think that the whole problem with America is they just don't want to say sorry because they don't want to admit they was wrong. Because if I say sorry, that means I got to fix it. And I think that they're just being smart and calculated. I don't think it's evil as much as I think it's, and sometimes I wish we thought like that, like worry about our own survival rather than worrying about my own survival. Like,
yeah.
How do we, like, because like if you think about Jewish people are like, hey, it's in comedies, by the way. I'm not even talking about like seriousness. It's like, you gotta marry a good Jewish girl because we're only 2% of the world and we're gonna die in 100 years. So they're trying to just survive. Or I don't know if it's evil as much as it's just they don't make decisions with the heart.
Right.
What you think?
Well, if you are a lion in the jungle and you eat another animal for survival, that's not evil. But if it's something wrong with you and you just keep eating. And keep eating and keep eating. You're full already.
Mm.
You're killing just to kill at
Good
this
answer.
Point.
Good
That's
answer.
Evil.
Yes.
They're not doing it for those and not just them, but yeah. Any of those people that do it. It's gluttony, it's greed. During slavery, it just wasn't the white families that had slaves. Sure, there was a lot of people that did it because everybody did it. It was an industrial way for them to build wealth. That didn't mean that they particularly evil. They assimilated to what
That's
the culture
true.
Was.
Yeah, for sure.
But the ones that was raping the slaves, the one that had sex farms, the one that would cut black people's faces off and wear them as purses, the one that will feed babies to alligators, those are evil. So they don't want to recognize the evil in their past, not just the slavery.
Yes.
The type of slavery they don't want to credit
true.
For. Because
now
you got to say, your fucking grandparents was monsters.
Yep. Yes.
Your great-grandparents were monsters.
Am I a monster?
Right.
Like, wow. Like,
so
yeah, that's true. That's
at least you have the lineage of monsters.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And so it's like looking at over what goes on in other countries and things of that nature. There's a lot of evil associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, if you're not evil, then you have to stand up against it.
Mm.
Right? But if you are a part of, and let's say some of y'all are evil and the rest of them just don't say nothing. What? Mm-hmm. You know, you you work with evil.
Yeah.
Or you at least a demon.
Mm.
You might not be the devil, but you a demon because you work for the devil.
Yeah.
Right? And so when we talk about that sort of psychology, it's definitely not talking about the culture of looking out for each other. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And good and evil, you know, it based on perspectives.
Yep.
Those are things that you can kind of get around, right?
Yep.
And, you know, having a culture of looking out for your own, that's not particularly evil whatsoever. It's when you have an evil nature which exploits other people, right? And you know you don't have to.
Yeah.
At all. Like, what's the guy that Dame Dash always talks about?
Lior.
Lior went on there and said, look, we know there's an epidemic and an opioid crisis. But he said, what I'm going to do? Feed my family.
He said, I got to eat.
So you are consciously aware that you're doing something that literally kills people. I mean, literally. Like
yeah.
Drugs, it's an opioid crisis, but it doesn't affect yours. So you make evil fair seeming. You say, it's okay. I can do this. And it's written in your text that as long as it's not towards my people.
Mm.
See, that's where they won't go. I'm not going to. Look. I might do you wrong. I might write in your contract that you got to work for me for the rest of 100 years and you will never know. But I can't do that to somebody who looks like me.
Yeah.
So that's when you get ostracized and kicked out because you can't do evil to your own.
Yep.
But because these not God people, so I can do evil to them because it's written as such.
It's
right?
Right.
It's written in your culture, but we don't have that written. We actually do evil to each other more than we do anyone else.
Mm.
Right? So when people say black people not racist, it's not true. We racist towards each other more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we can actually utilize our power against each other to discriminate against each other.
Agreed.
Right? When you grow up in neighborhoods and somebody try to rob you, right, because you black, but then they let the white person walk past because they're afraid that the system is going to back them up.
Yep.
Right? That's sucker shit.
Yep.
But that's how we discriminate towards each other. That's a racial discrimination. You chose to murder your own, but you locked them, walk by, and let them be safe. That's racist.
That is.
So, no, I don't have a problem with them looking out for their own. but not at the cost of my people.
True.
Right? And then that's when it's like, okay, well, me standing up for my people is me standing up against evil. You standing up for your people is committing evil against my people. So when I teach my people and say, wait a minute, we got to stop eating like that, right? We got to stop living like that. I'm taking money out your pocket.
Yep.
Right? When I say don't listen to that music, I'm messing up a whole entire supply chain. I'm messing up a whole record label. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm taking literal food off your table, but that's actually killing my people. Mm-hmm. So now it may seem like a simple thing for somebody to speak truth, but truth disrupts a whole system when it's built off lies.
True.
Black people going into 2030, they say we're going to spend $70 billion on luxury goods and apparel. We're 13% of the population, but we represent 20% of luxury spending. Now, we produce none of that. But we are the biggest influencers and consumers, but we don't produce what we consume. So all our influence feeds somebody else's family. So when we wear something, that's generational wealth for everybody else. We scream generational wealth, but we wear their generational wealth. Mm. Right? Oh, this jacket costs $30,000. Yes, now who gets that? At the bottom of that, it's going to be some immigrant family creating the textiles and things of that nature, right? Then it comes up here to where now they hire somebody, right, to go design it. And then they go get your influence to make it hot so then they can charge more for the brand. So it cost them $15 to make it. But by the time they put your influence on it, now it's worth $15,000, right? That margin, they keeping all of that. And you just paid them to wear it to make your shit hot, to influence somebody that looks like you to go buy it because you don't believe you enough. So you need to wear things outside of where you come from to feel like you more than what you are. So the goal is, even with the spending, say, okay, well, we gonna always like luxury. We gonna always like flyness.
Yeah, for sure.
I get that. The only difference is let's just produce what we consume. That's it. We at this precipice now where we can make anything hot. Black men specifically are the greatest influencers on the planet Earth. We are the rising influences in media, number one rising influence. But even when we doing that, we doing that wrong, right? Because when I go look at the Joe Rogans, you feel me? The Dan Hubermans, the white girl that just won. See, they have a circuit in their media. Right? Listen, you go get on this show, then you go get on this show, then you go get on this show, then you go get on this show. You get hot, you keep rotating that to keep the influence up. Mm. Then everybody else from all them other cultures go want to come on. Mm. They hottest superstar in the world go come over here and bring equity to your show. Yep. They go ignore the black one because they say, I don't know about that. I don't want to come over there and bring, I'm going to come over here and tell my story. You could have made this one hot. This one is only hot because you hopping on it.
Yep.
So the same way, now, these other podcasts and media companies are worth hundreds of millions of dollars only because you took all your celebrity status and influence and you poured into it while ignoring all of the black ones. That's why I respect LL for doing his media run, going to all of the black podcasts. All of the black celebrities, influencers, executives, people who have stories, they should always go to black first. Yep. Because now you making them the mainstay. You making them the voice. So now, guess what? Now that they so powerful, they number one, you can always go back to them and have a safe space to be yourself. You ain't never got to go over there. Those media go down and be like, why is all black hot people going over here? Now this goddamn podcast worth $100+ million. You feel me? They got so much influence to where I put a product on there, I just influenced $100 million worth of product.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's hot.
Yep.
Kim Kardashian got hot. Why? Because she was with all the black dudes. You know what I mean? It's the same effect. You take the black dudes and you put them on the podcast and get hot like Kim. Now she can go sell them Skims.
Yep.
You feel me?
That's real.
That's how the game works.
That's real.
We make everything hot. So we got to stop giving away our influence and just shipping it off to everybody else. And so that's the pledge that we have to have. That's the behind the scenes. That's the understanding. You
I
feel
agree.
Me?
I agree.
Like, that's when that Jewish lawyer said, I'm not about to put another Jewish lawyer for a nigga. You crazy? You don't have no power to where my son got to do a bar mitzvah and the goddamn rabbi don't want to show up because, you know what I mean, grew up with their son.
Yep.
And then you got this son fired and now you can't. Come on, man. I'll be watching Larry David. I know how it goes down. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to step our game up when it comes to the culture, but it's not going to start with everybody. And
I
think that that's what we have to stop. We have to limit it to groups, right? When we communicate, it's like me and Ray, you know everybody. I know everybody on this side.
Sure.
we decide to curate a small group of people and have conversations and say, this is how we gonna move. Hey, this is the message we wanna get out. Get this word out across everybody who got a media platform. Tell them if they do that, then we'll send them over bookings to people that's in our network.
Yeah.
You feel me? Why would you say no to that?
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's politics. That's business. You feel me? We're gonna get you some opportunities. I know a bro work at TikTok, man. You trying to get a little extra over here? I got you. I know a bro work over there. You need some sponsorships? I'm going to send that your way. I know a CMO over there. They can write at least a $100,000 check without going above their head.
Yep.
I'm going to send them your way. By the time they figure it out, it's too late. You got the money. The influence done grew. Go. You done moved on. That's how we network, is when you no longer in a position, nobody care about you because you ain't use your position to do anything nobody cared about.
Mm.
So this is how we have to start changing the way we get strategic with our influence, right? Because we have it, but we're not using it the right way. We're not strategic. Political leaders of the past in Atlanta understood that. When one was in position, they understood that, okay, use your position, right? You in the street, you go do that protest go hit the newspaper. I'm going to be able to take this newspaper over here because this is now an issue. Get this passed. Now you can get that contract. Now you win. We get the airport. Just make sure my name is on it and everything.
Yes.
You feel me? It's politics.
Yes, that's true.
So that's what we have to do with our influence. We have to be more political with it. And we have to be super intentional with it. You feel me? We got to stop being happy to get a job. And we got to be a part of a movement. If you get a job, leverage that for the culture. But we have to define what a culture is, because we have this baby culture. We have to have an advanced culture.
Yes.
An advanced culture has rules, it has rituals, it has orders, it has structure, it has consequences, it has standards. I don't want to be a part of just the culture. I want to be a part of the advanced culture.
I do too.
And advanced cultures run our culture.
Yep.
Brother, I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, man.
Likewise.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.